All right. The time is 8:32 Central Time on October 19th, 2021, and I am convening this video and telephone conference meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association. The meeting is being conducted pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act and the Association's antitrust policy. All information disclosed or discussed is to be used only for carrying out the business of the association. Proper notice of the meeting was filed on October 7, 2021 and published in the Texas Register in accordance with the Texas Open Meetings Act. A copy of the notice should be attached to the summary of the official minutes of this meeting. A quorum is achieved as we have six of the seven appointed directors attending by conference. We've got two open positions, of course, and then Chairman Jim Lewis is unavailable today, so you all are stuck with me in his absence. Also in attendance, we've got Board Counsel Shelby Betts, General Counsel Jackie Rickson, from the Texas Association, Bart Bowles, Jarrett Terry, and Topping Haggerty. And then from TDI, we have John Alexander, John Peters, Patty Otto, Caitlin Merrick, Kenisa Schuster, and I don't know if Brian or Tina are on. I haven't scrolled through. In any case, I think we're ready to roll, Bart. Want to move to item one, the consent agenda.
Jim, these are your regular two items on the consent agenda, the minutes of the last board meeting, which was July 27th, 2021, and then the second quarter MPC's fees and expenses from NOLGA, which totaled $144,005. That's been paid. This consent agenda only asks for you to ratify that payment.
Has the board had a chance to read through the minutes and take a look at the NOGA expenses? If so, yes. I'd entertain a motion.
Motion to approve.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed, say no. All right.
And that was Huckabee and McCandless, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Thank you.
All right, brings us to item number two. Consideration of any matters by TDI. I guess this would be the public items. John Alexander, yes. Crew, anything?
Yes, yes. Got a couple of things here for you. Good morning, everyone. First, I wanted to just share an announcement that I think you're all aware of by now, but on September 7th, Governor Abbott appointed Cassie Brown as our next commissioner at TDI. You know, Cassie spent some time with TDI before being appointed as commissioner of workers' compensation in June of 2018. And so it's nice to be working with Commissioner Brown again as she gets back into TDI and is immersed in all of the things over at Hobby. So she's settling in, and I know that Bart extended an invitation to her to join at this meeting, and I don't think that was possible, but I know she's interested in seeing if something can be worked out maybe next time. The next piece I wanted to share with everyone is that after many months of planning and evaluation, the department has set in place a plan for a return to the office for the staff. And it'll be staggered, it'll be phased in, and beginning this month, it'll be phased in over 3 months. Beginning this month, deputies and managers are going back into the office. Some for deputies for a minimum of 2 days a week, managers a minimum of 1 day a week. And come November, the deputies, managers, and then the rest of the staff will return to the office for a minimum of 1 day a week. And then by December, we'll have it implemented as intended. And that will mean that managers, deputies will be in the office a minimum of 3 days a week. Non-management staff will be in the office a minimum of 2 days a week. So like I say, it won't be the way it once was before the pandemic. There'll be all kinds of safety precautions. We'll be following the CDC guidelines, maintaining distance. But as a state agency, it was important to have it open and staffed. And there'll be occasions where there'll be in-person meetings. They'll probably be smaller in size. But on those occasions, staff will be expected to be present. And so that's being rolled out now. And again, will be fully implemented by the month of December. I guess, Bart, the last thing I just would like to share with everyone on a personal note, I have given my notice that I'm leaving the agency at the end of this month. I've spent nearly 8 years with TDI and thoroughly enjoyed my work with groups like yours and all of the challenging assignments. It's been extremely fulfilling. I've learned a great deal. But a new opportunity came along that evolved into something that I really hadn't gone looking for, but I've decided to move on and go in this new direction. And so I'll still be in Austin, but I'll finish up my time with TDI at the end of this month. Just want to say thanks to all of you for working with me and supporting the measures that I'm responsible for with TDI and supporting my staff. So thank you very much.
We'll miss you, John. Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, John, we wish you all the best of luck. And I just want to say from my side, in those 8 years, you and I have talked a lot. We've gone over a lot of things, and it's been a pleasure. And even when we disagreed, which we have, it's been quite professional and comfortable, and you've been very forthcoming. So I just want to sincerely thank you for how you've interacted with us over these 8 years. Very much appreciated.
I do appreciate that, Bart, and I couldn't agree more. I noticed right away what a professional organization the Guarantee Association was, and still we all managed to have some laughs along the way. It's challenging work, but it's one that I was completely dedicated to, and I respect your mission and everything you do to fulfill it. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, John.
Well, yeah, we'll miss working with you, John, but best of luck with the new gig. So congratulations.
Thank you, Jim.
Jim. Yeah. Hi, it's Ted. One quick question for John. First of all, John, Ted Kennedy, I echo all the prior comments. We're going to miss you. And forgive me if I missed it. Did you say with return to work where we are on the new office, or will they be returning to the new office, or that's still in process?
Yeah, thanks for the question, Ted. Yes, I didn't say anything about the new office building. All of the reports that I've seen indicate that we're right on schedule with the construction of the new office building, a little closer to the Capitol. But the plan there is that it should be ready for our move-in next summer. I haven't seen any more specific date than a general time frame of June or July. But they've shared, the agency has put out a number of videos and update news briefs on just how it's coming along. It's going to be a very special place. Of course, filled with people. I guess it's 10 or 11 floors. It's just amazing what's being constructed over there, all by the right across from the Bob Bullock Museum. An immense underground parking garage for all state employees. In our building, interestingly, there'll be a childcare facility. And I understand that's supposed to be quite large with a playground and everything outside. So it should be a pretty lively community type setting. And I know there's a lot of people looking forward to it.
Any other questions for John? All right. Yes, let's move to item three then, audit committee.
Good morning, all. This is Dean. The audit committee, Patty and I, met yesterday, and the action items we're recommending is first to engage our current audit firm again. We've had the new partner for a couple of years. We can have that firm for a total of the seven, or at least that partner, for a total of 7 years. And we've recommended that the board approve the engagement of the auditors again. There should be a resolution. Yeah, it's up on your screen right now. As chair of the audit committee, I'll move the resolution.
I'll second.
I guess we'll just take these one at a time then. It's okay.
I think so.
Okay. All right. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion or questions for Dean or Patty? All those in favor of the resolution, say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. All right. The resolution passes.
Okay, the next action item we have is we want to perform a network penetration and a social engineering test. We got three proposals from our RFP. One was from Clifton Arson, our current audit firm. The one we liked was from, what's the name again, Bart?
Science Soft.
Yeah, Science Soft. Science Soft was a little bit higher, but their proposal looked to be more thorough, and they also give us an attestation that we can use on our cyber liability insurance to hopefully help us keep our good rate there. So they weren't the lowest proposal, but they weren't that much higher. I think they're $10,000, and the next one was $8,500. Is that right, Bart?
Yeah, very close.
Okay, so we're recommending the second proposer to do this network penetration test. They also do social engineering, where they'll send a fictitious email to the staff, seeing if they'll click on it, and if they do, they get to have some training. So we like this firm, Science Sauce, the best. And as chair, I'll move approval.
Second.
We have a motion and a second on the resolution, the second one there. Any further discussion by the board? All right, all those in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed and no? All right, the resolution passes.
So I just want to make sure I have that correct. That was Frigo and Huckabee? Thank you.
All right. Go ahead, Dean.
Okay, and the next action item is to approve the audit plan for 2022. We have to file this with the insurance commissioner. We're not recommending any changes to the audit plan. Now, is it this year or is it next year, Bart? We want them to do some extra work on the disbursements.
It would be, excuse me, next year. So it'd be for calendar year. It would be done in 2023, but it would cover 2022 activities. So it would be in next year's audit plan. And what the committee discussed is, since the association is doing some in-house administration of two blocks of business, and we anticipate there may be more coming in-house, that would be good to review some of the controls that we have in place for that administration.
Yeah, and that change will be for next year, but for this year, we're really not recommending any changes. So again, I'll move approval of the audit plan for 2022.
I'll second.
It was Dean and Patty. Any discussion by the board? Bart, anything else on your end?
No, sir.
All right, we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed to no? All right, resolution passes.
Okay, and those were all the action items. We also looked at the GASB 87 implementation. If you want me to bore you to tears, we have to capitalize the office lease, and we're going to capitalize it for the full 7 years of the lease plus the 5 years of the renewal. So you're going to see a large asset appear on our financial statements when we capitalize that lease. You just take the future lease payments and present value them, and then that is booked as an asset, and we amortize it over the 12 years. We also reviewed the insurance coverage. I think we've got a good coverage. We have D&O coverage, which is always near and dear to my heart, but we also have cyber liability coverage, liability coverage. What am I missing, Bart?
We have our general liability, then we have an umbrella policy, we have a financial institutions bond, workers' comp, and then, as Dean mentioned, our D&O and our cyber liability.
Yeah, we looked at the coverages and we felt they were all adequate. Bart, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, the one thing I did ask or advise the committee that I'd like to explore further is the amount of coverage under our cyber policy. That entire marketplace is very volatile. And I'd like to do a little more analysis on the exposure of any type of breach and if our coverage is adequate. And talking with our broker, he said that he thought it was, but I want to delve into that a little deeper. And then the other thing is, we did provide the committee with all the renewals that we had received, and the premiums were only a couple of small increases. The one renewal we do not yet have in hand, and it will be coming anytime because it renews November 3rd, is our cyber liability coverage. And I just don't know what that premium is going to be. But as I mentioned, the volatile market, when we receive it, we are going to send the audit committee an update that we have it in hand and here's how it compares to the prior year.
Any questions on our insurance? We as directors do have D&O coverage. So like I say, that's near and dear to my heart. We also looked over the operating budget and the capital budget. The operating budget should decrease significantly because our legal action through NOGA, which is a great deal of our budget, should also decrease next year. In the way of capital expenditures, the only item we had there was a new laptop. It's $3,000. And we did approve our calendar of activities for 2022. And I don't think I have anything else to report. Patty, can you think of anything I missed?
Covered it very well.
Very thorough report.
Thank you all.
All right. Thank you, Dean and Patty. Anything else on this item, Bart? Are we ready to move on?
Ready to move on.
All right. I think item four is executive session. So I'll have to recess regular session here. The time is 8:51 Central on October 19, 2021. And I am recessing the regular session of the Board of Directors meeting of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association in order for the board to meet in executive session pursuant to the Texas Meetings Act.
Yeah, from the waiting room.
We are now recording in public session.
Right. The time is 9:51 Central Time on October 19, 2021. The executive session of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association Board of Directors meeting has concluded, and I am reconvening the regular session of the meeting pursuant to the Texas Open Meetings Act. So I think that brings us to item five. consideration and possible action on items discussed in executive session. So Bart, do you want to tee up the two resolutions there?
These are two resolutions. The first is involving North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. And based on the discussion in executive session with the board, there is a pending resolution for your consideration to permit me to participate in two agreements that have been negotiated by the NOLGA North Carolina Mutual Task Force. And the resolution is proposed is on screen.
Right. And I guess I'd entertain a motion from the board.
So moved.
I'll second. Patty second.
Right, we've got a motion and a second. Any discussion by members of the board? All right, those all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? No. All right, the resolution passes, Bart.
And the second proposed resolution involves Time Life Insurance, it's Time Insurance Company. The life should not be in the title there. This is a company that's currently in rehabilitation and a very fluid situation and changing it all the time. What we are asking is for authority from the board of directors, and I'd like to change the intro of the resolution that's on screen slightly. So it would read, whereas the board of directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association, in the event a rehabilitation is unsuccessful and a liquidation petition and order with a finding of insolvency is entered against Time Insurance Company, thus activating the Life and Health Guarantee Association Protect the Texas Resident Time Policy Holders, and then the resolved as shown on screen. So this is just to change that in the event the rehabilitation is necessary and the liquidation petition and order is entered against Time, then we're asking for this authority.
All right, and I guess as amended, by Bart there, entertain a motion from the board.
Ted moves.
Second, Summer.
All right, got a motion and a second. Any further discussion by the board?
And you're going to take out the with the NC Mutual Liquidator.
Liquidator, yes, ma'am. Those four words with the, well, with the NC Mutual Liquidator. That's copied from another resolution in error.
Thank you for that clarification, Shelby. I think we've got a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? No.
All right, thank you.
As amended, passes. All right. Brings us to any other items, Bart? That's it, right, for item five?
That's all.
All right. Item six, quarterly report from the executive director.
I'll mention a few operational things that are ongoing. Our COVID response plan, as we previously reported, we had reopened the Guarantee Association offices on July 6th, but then within very short time period, the Austin level had a significant spike in COVID activities and went back to our highest level of being, I think, at risk level 5 here in Austin. So on July 28th, I again closed the offices. We have not reopened the offices. I've known that the risk level in Austin has been decreased to 3. There is, I am here 3 days a week. Jarrett and Topping come in at least 1 day a week, and we try to stagger when no two of us are here at the same time. There are certain things that have to be done to handle mail and hard copy documents in person. But that is going to remain the schedule while we monitor the COVID levels. So we're not proposing any changes right now. The good thing is everything for the association is continuing without any difficulties whatsoever. John Alexander's already mentioned the appointment of Commissioner Brown on September 7th. I did invite her to this meeting and receive a response. She was unable to fit it in her schedule, but wanted to know when the next meeting was. So I will send another invitation for our January meeting to Commissioner Brown. Good news, Director Summer and Director Harrison were both reappointed for new six-year terms last week by Commissioner Brown. So congratulations to both of them, I think. I think it's good news. They may have other opinions. We still have two board vacancies, a small member company vacancy and a public director. These are difficult positions for the Department of Insurance to identify candidates. They've been working diligently, and I believe they thought they had a candidate that was eligible for the small company vacancy, but is going through, that candidate was not eligible. So they're still working on it. There was a little bit of a wrinkle that came up in the distribution of the revised summary document. I thank Ted Kennedy for bringing this to my attention. This was raised during a Talhi conference call that several member insurers were having difficulty meeting the 60-day implementation time period that is in the statute. I just clarified that in the seven times that we've revised the summary document since it was originally issued or developed in 1993, this is the same process to distribute it without change. But apparently some companies had some difficulty manning their mail rooms. And so I believe Director Kennedy had a conversation with Chief Deputy Commissioner Doug Slate, and they agreed on some leniency for these companies to give them a little time to implement it on an informal basis. I did report to both Ted and the Department of Insurance. The association's already begun its process to gather electronic information to distribute assessments. We're in the process of gathering two email addresses, separate email addresses for each member company. And it's part of our assessment system upgrade to bring those in. Our goal is by the time of the next assessment, whether Class A or Class B, which could be as early as next March, we are hopeful that we will have the ability to communicate with member companies electronically and not have to use mail. So assessments and other notifications will be distributed electronically. That should remedy some of the problems that came up in this call. Next thing, the 2021 Class A assessment. At the time of the last board meeting, we still had, I think it was around $200 of assessments outstanding. Thanks a lot to John Peters at TDI for helping us with this. That assessment was fully collected. So everything was paid by the member companies. On August 9th, Clifton Larson Allen filed the association's Form 990 with the IRS. The deadline for filing that is November 15th, but it was completed and reviewed by the board at its July meeting. And so it was finalized shortly thereafter, and we just went ahead and filed it. So the 990 for 2020 is completed. The next one is a matter we don't talk about much. The association has had offsite storage in a public storage facility on West 6th Street, close to our current offices. It's climate controlled, security controlled, punch key access. It's a very stable storage facility. Over the years, and I'm saying it's been more than two decades, we've kept records in that facility. And we've had, four very large storage facilities there with over 500 boxes in storage. We have reduced that down to 133 boxes in one small storage unit. But we recently were told that that 10 by 20 unit was having its rent increased to $750 a month. So after some planning, Jarrett and I, in our two vehicles, went over and moved those 133 boxes into our current offices in our workroom. And then we broke down the shelves in the storage facility and we donated those to Habitat for Humanity. So that storage facility at the end of September was vacated and we no longer have that expense. We're now going through and double checking the record retention on those boxes in our office. And that's led by Topping. She has it very organized. I would say Topping, we're probably three quarters of the way through those boxes and we should be there in another month and ready to destroy.
That sounds correct.
Okay. So trimming a little bit of our facilities and trimming some expenses. A new firewall was installed on September 29th. Our firewall was showing a little bit of age. We were having a few connectivity issues. We've now got the new firewall installed. We changed the VPN that is used by staff to connect remotely and to connect to the cloud with all our records. And after a few tweaks, it seems to be working quite well. And we're looking forward to having that tested as part of the network penetration testing. And the last thing is our summer hours ended right after Labor Day, and we are now at the normal hours, 7:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. On meetings, I'll just mention the NEIC meeting recently was conducted in a hybrid format with a number of attendees in Columbus in person. I'm guessing that Jim Harrison probably walked down the street and attended that.
I did. It wasn't really worth my time, however, but I was there for a couple of days.
So what's been happening on these summer, all the NEIC meetings during the COVID environment is a lot of the task force and committee meetings are held in advance rather than during the period of the meeting, and there's no charge for them. So for the last two NEIC meetings, instead of paying the $750, I've not paid that, not attended the NEIC meeting, but attended the task force meetings in advance for free. So the next meeting will be coming up, I believe, Jim, in December in San Diego. And the last I heard, would be another one conducted in hybrid format. Okay, the NOGA MPC and annual meetings, there were NOGA MPC meetings held August 3rd and 4th. The next MPC meeting is not on the screen, but I'll tell you, is going to be next Monday. The MPC meeting and annual meeting of NOGA was intended to be held in person in Nashville, and it's now going to be conducted virtually. So next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, these meetings will be held virtually. And if anyone's interested in attending, let me know. We can get you connected. A lot of the information you've heard in this meeting will be repeated, but there will be some updates, latest and greatest events, plus as part of the annual meeting, there's also some closed door presentations on significant insolvencies. So there'll be a presentation on SHIP. There'll be a presentation on Penn Treaty. I think there's maybe one on I don't know exactly. I have to look at the calendar. But there are several of these that usually have some good background material and the latest and greatest. And the litigation we've already covered in executive session. So, Jim, that is my update.
Any other questions for Bart? If not, we'll move to item 7, business continuity plan.
Okay, the business continuity plan, I should mention that we do or perform regular updates in various categories and things in this plan, but it's as a vendor. We might change a vendor or a vendor changes a contact information, or we have a new account manager or something like that. Insignificant alterations to make sure it's current. So this is really a living document. Why it was revised and distributed to you confidentially in advance of this meeting, with the relocation of the offices and the movement to a cloud environment. And we wanted to include a reference to the critical functions report. There was a little more substance to the revisions this time. So I wanted to make sure that the board had an opportunity to see it. So it was distributed confidentially to all directors, confidential because there are names and phone numbers and addresses in there, that private information on some of our vendors that, and even some for our staff that we don't publicly display. So it's not a complete change to throw out the old and bring in a new, but there were some more material changes this time. So I would ask the board to adopt the revised business continuity plan.
All right. And I did take a look, very thorough. Any questions for Bart? I guess if not, we'd entertain the motion on the screen. For the resolution,
it moves.
Second, Summer.
All right. Motion from Ted, second from David. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Yeah.
Aye.
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 Sorry, did I have a...
This is Jackie.
Yep.
I just, one thing I noticed that I don't think this affects, what the adoption of the plan, but I think Bart, it might be worth adding cell phone numbers for vendors where you have cell phone numbers in addition to office numbers.
We will look at that, Jackie. Thank you for the suggestion.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And just to confirm, did we have any no's? All right. Sorry, did I have another comment there? All right. Well, I think that passed, Bart. So,
thank you.
All right. Brings us to item 8.
Okay, this will be an update on a couple of the more active insolvent member companies for which the association has been activated. In essence, the reason we are here. We have 20 active receiverships right now, and then another 7 we're monitoring. That list of the ones we're monitoring, those are the ones with the rehabilitation proceedings underway or a petition for liquidation. One of those companies I'm going to drop off the list, AFNL Insurance Company, the long-term care company in Pennsylvania. It's a sister company to another company called Senior American that was put into liquidation, but AFNL had a liquidation petition pending against it for over a year and a half. And after some rehabilitation activities and some back and forth with the company, that petition was withdrawn by the Pennsylvania Department. So it is no longer subject to any type of proceeding. So I'll be removing it from the list. There you'll see on the screen, the first 8 months of 2021, we've only paid about $238,000 in benefits. We do have obligations on an aggregate basis for active companies. We estimated about $3.92 million. We received in the first 8 months of 2021, $345,000 of recoveries and about $43,000 premiums. Of course, the substantial litigation recovery that we have discussed was in September, so was not in the financial cutoff period for this report. And then on page 8.4, Topping always summarizes the communications that she monitors either through phone calls or website visitors or email questions. And there have been no complaints against filed with the association. Now, I want to take just a moment and mention the complaints. There are complaints that come into the TPAs on various things and complaints that they report to us, but no written complaints filed with the association. There have been a couple of escalated matters on like Penn Treaty that were sent to the Texas Department of Insurance and the TPA on those escalated matters. There's a process they go through my committee on PACA to recommend a response and a resolution. It comes to the Affected Guarantee Association. So I've had a couple of those in Texas and a couple this quarter that I've signed off on and have been remedied. But there are not complaints filed with the association. There may be complaints kind of involving companies for which we are obligated, but there's no complaints with us. Topping, I do talk occasionally with policyholders that are not happy with what they've heard from one of our TPAs. And sometimes it's just miscommunication and sometimes it's an error and we have to get involved and fix it. But most of those are phone calls. So our complaints are written complaints. That's what we report. And there have not been one filed with the association since 2011. All right, to talk about the companies, Palanthe Mutual, this company has been in liquidation almost a year now. Well, I guess it is a year because it's October 9th. So it just passed 1 year. And in that year, Jarrett and Topping have been handling the administration of the policyholders. It's roughly, what's the in-force count here? There's still 2,201 policies in force. You can see we've paid out 94 surrenders and 30 death claims in that year. So we just continue to administer it. We have the QL admin administration system in-house, and it's all done by Topping and Jarrett. Penn Treaty, significant insolvency, of course, it doesn't show up in the benefit payments because we're not paying these directly. We funded $118 million to LTC Re, and LTC Re, it makes the payments to the TPA as the benefits become due. So let me just summarize here where things stand on premium collections and claim payments, both nationally and for Texas. And these are 52 months that goes to August 31st. I just closed out the 55th month through September. Oh, that's not, that actually should say 54 months on this report, but we're 55 months into it. And it's about $1.2 billion nationally that's been paid out, $65 million for Texas. And I'm adding together the claims payments and then the cash buyout payments under the rate increase options. So there still are a significant number of in-force policies and open claims. I'll let you know the in-force policies have decreased since March 1st, has decreased by roughly 40%. The open and pending claims have only fallen off by 21%. So even though you've got a declining in-force block, I won't say it's level, but you still have a higher percentage of open and pending claims when compared to the in-force policies. We do track when policyholders start to reach guarantee association coverage limits. We start tracking them when they reach 75%, 90%, and then 100%. There are specific letters sent to policyholders at those stages. There are 34 states that have had policyholders reach at least 75% of their statutory coverage limit. And that's 816 policies in those 34 states. In Texas, we've had 35 policies hit at least 75% of the limit, and 11 of those had fully exhausted guarantee association coverage. So some of that fall off in in-force policies are for policyholders that exhaust guarantee association coverage. There are also policies that have exhausted their policy coverage, and that policy coverage amount is less than the guarantee association coverage. Rate increases, we are still implementing phase-ins in 17 states. This is where the insurance commissioners in those states approved the rate increases, but said it wouldn't be done in all in 1 year. It had to be done in 2, 3, or 4 phases. And then there's a couple of states that had to, rather than the commissioner approve it in phases, they approved it in part and then come back to me later. So there are 2 states that have had to have multiple submissions. And so they've had more than 1 rate increase. So rate increase packages have been sent out to 70,269 policyholders nationally. 21,678 have called, asked questions, but there have only been 100 complaints sent in out of 70,000 packages. So I think the rate increase program was fairly successful. The wellness initiative, and this is the last update I'll give. Patty and I worked on a committee to go through and evaluate various wellness initiatives and to gather proposals. I think we started out with over 35 firms. We got proposals from 8. We trimmed that down to 5. We finally chose one that the LTC Re Board approved in May of 2021, and that was a company called Assured Allies. Assured Allies has a program that's been in existence for a while with a couple of large long-term care carriers. It's been working quite well. A lot of it is based on fall prevention, either through education, home adjustments, including grab bars, raised toilet seats, things like that. You would think it sounds pretty simple, but it makes a significant impact in the quality of life for these policyholders and prevents injuries and claims. So the program that was approved, we were going to initially implement it in a 2-phase pilot program with tax-qualified policies, about 4,000 of those being offered the opportunity to participate first, and that was going to be happening right now by the end of October. And then in March, another 4,000 non-tax-qualified policyholders be offered. As we began to develop the contract for the program and scrub the data, it ended up that the universe of tax-qualified policyholders, when we trimmed it down to those that we were going to offer the program, and once those that participate, we didn't have enough tax qualified policyholders left to do a statistically or an actuarially sound control group to measure results. So the program's now been adjusted. Throw tax qualified and non-tax qualified segregation out the window. It's going to be both types of policies in one pilot program of about 10,000 policyholders. So roughly be 5,000 to be offered to. And from that other 5,000, you choose a more or less a mirror image control group. It's still going to have the same type of benefits and the program won't change. It'll be completely voluntary for policyholder participation. There'll be no cost to the policyholders. Timing, however, we're going to implement it, we hope, by December 15th. It's a little bit tricky implementing this during the holidays. My view, though, is for a lot of these seniors, it may be a better time because they can have time with their families to evaluate and help them decide, should I participate? So this program will be going, it's probably going to take a good 2 years to see the full benefit of the program. But it's going to be, I hope, very worthwhile. And all indicators look like this is going to enhance quality of life for policyholders and may help control some of the cost on our block of business. So that's all on Penn Treaty. Lincoln Memorial, we have discussed. The only thing I want to mention is right here on screen, there are 49 remaining enforced Lincoln Memorial policies with death benefits and face amounts of $68,821. With the conclusion of the litigation, the Lincoln Memorial liquidator will now move to begin the wind down of the estate. In doing that, they have been administering these policies for the guarantee associations. Now, there are 49 in Texas. There are still several thousand in other states. Jarrett and I have discussed this. We're going to begin meetings with the Lincoln Memorial liquidator on our 49 policies to get the records that we need. And we are going to maybe even make it by year end, bring those policies in-house, and we'll administer them here. There's no premiums to bill and collect. It's just to process deaths as they occur. Okay, Northwestern National. Jarrett may want to say something, but there's one policyholder that we're running off in-house. Jarrett and this policyholder text regularly. That's their means of communication. Jarrett, anything on this gentleman that the board should be aware?
No, that's pretty much it. He's just rocking along, paying his claims and paying his premium. So we've had no issues.
Okay, this seems to be working quite well. North Carolina Mutual, we have discussed in executive session. The board's taken action on that, as well as Time Insurance Company. So with that, Mr. Harrison, if there are not any questions, I believe the report on the active insolvencies is completed.
Very good. All right. Any questions for Bart? If not, item 9.
Okay. These are the current financial statements, and Jarrett's going to report on them. I'm going to bring it up on screen. Jarrett, there's a couple things here in the boxes you can discuss, but I was going to also ask on this page, I don't know if you can see my cursor, if you could talk about the right of use lease assets and then the lease liabilities and the non-current liabilities and explain that.
Yes, I will. So the first items there, and this quarter was kind of quiet, so there's not a whole lot to report on. But in the first bullet point there, you'll see between June and July, this is our normal quarterly where the investments mature. If we need the cash, we keep it. If we don't, we reinvest it. And so that was reinvested. It matured at the end of June and we reinvested it in July. As Bart mentioned earlier in his report, we have fully collected the March 2021 Class A assessment. And you'll see that that is happened in August. And so now that balance has gone back to the normal receivable that we have there. It's a slight difference between last year because we do have a couple of deferrals that were approved by the board. I believe one of them was time. And so that's a slight small difference there. Now on the right of use lease asset and then the lease liability that Bart pointed out. Those are the two requirements for GASB 87 that we talked about earlier with the audit committee. At the beginning of this year, we had decided to implement GASB 87. And so I did a preliminary calculation before we had a chance to discuss this with the auditor and get Clifton Larson Allen involved with their calculations. This is all preliminary. Of course, our final numbers will be available in the next board meeting once we have implemented all the calculations that Clifton Larson has given us. But as of right now, making the assumptions that we did back in January, we have this right of use lease asset, which is basically our new lease at the new office, the present value of it. At the beginning, we did not include the five-year option period. So it's slightly less than what, well, I say slightly, it's about $600,000 less than what Clifton Larson came up with. And the amortization of that asset is included in the line below it in the accumulated depreciation because GASB 87 allows us to include that amortization as depreciation. If we go down to the lease liability, that is also established at the net present value of the lease payments, the same number as the lease asset, but it is amortized over the life of the lease. So you'll see it going down by about $10,000 over each month, which is basically our rent for that month. And
I think, Jared, there's a footnote here.
Yeah, we added the new footnote. We added that, though, back in January. And so that hasn't changed over the year. Now, we will have a fuller disclosure when we do the year-end financials. And Clifton Larson Allen has provided us the numbers for that disclosure as well.
Okay.
Thank you. So other than that, I have nothing else to point out unless anyone has any questions.
Any questions for Bart or Jarrett? Anything else for that item, Bart, or are we?
That's all. We'll have a little more discussion in the January meeting on financials because there's going to be a more movement. This GASB is going to be a little clarification there. And then there's also going to be some a little more money to talk about investments.
All right. I guess that brings us to item number 10, date for the next meeting.
And the calendar of activities we put in your materials is just the final calendar for 2021. So we will be developing the calendar for 2022. We've started targeting some of the dates. The first date is this Tuesday, January 25th, 2022, as the next meeting for the Board of Directors. And I would ask each of you, you could look now or you can look and tell me later if you need to dig deeper into your calendars. If you have a conflict, we have plenty of time to find a better date, but this is the current target.
But what's that date again, Bart?
January 25th.
Yeah, that'll work.
This is Ted. It works for me.
Works for David.
Same for me. And then, Bart, would we do a AI committee the day before? Or?
Well, now that maybe that's a benefit of COVID, we've become fairly well versed in these virtual meetings. We'd always had the meetings the day before to try to trim your travel, and that's not necessary now. So I would recommend we scoot back committee meetings at least a week. That way, if the committee would like to have any follow-up or research or clarifications, it gives a little bit of time before the meeting, and you have to give your report to do that additional work. So we were targeting a week prior, Jim.
Okay.
but we've got time to decide on that and let you look at your calendar.
Yep, that's fine. And so are you anticipating another virtual meeting, Bart, in January, or what considerations go into that?
Virtual phone, we may even have some in person. I think that what we're going to see going forward is at least some attending virtually, some attending by phone, and possibly some attending in person. That's going to be the new world. And they're all permitted by statute and under the Open Meetings Act. And hey, for example, today, now I'm in the office. If someone from the public wanted to attend in person, I would step into the next room, in the conference room, and just conduct the meeting there with them present.
What's the capacity of the conference room? I can't remember what the size is or if it's used by multiple leases. Well, there.
Do we couple have of different things. The one in the office is not big. It's a capacity of 8. Not the 30 we had in our other one. But there is a common conference room in this building that we can reserve at no cost. And it's the same size as our prior one. So we could fit the entire board and guest in that room.
Should we reserve it now, Bart? I mean, I'd like to attend in person, assuming things get better and we're at stage 2 by then. But
Topping had already suggested that and planned for that. She had reserved it for this meeting, thinking that when back in July that we might be doing this meeting in person, and then we backed off from it. So Topping can, just waiting to confirm the date, she can see if it's available. And no other tenant has spoken for it, but we will work toward that and not be an issue. Now, it does not have to be at this building, Patty. We can have a meeting anywhere. If it's more convenient in another facility, if any of you need to come in and stay overnight, you want to have it at the hotel or resort where you're staying, we can accommodate that.
That's what we used to do at the risk pool. I think we would do meetings at the Garden Marriott downtown was pretty reasonable, their conference rooms, and that way board members could stay there. I live in Austin, so I don't have a say on that, but if someone's coming in person and wanting to do that.
We've got time to plan. I'm just hesitant to say right now that I want all of you to come in person. Just, I don't know what the COVID situation as we move into winter and flu season is going to bring.
Anything else, Bart, for the pretty quick meeting here?
Jim Lewis will be jealous. I think you set the record. That was very good.
All right. Well, it's a good record. All right. If there's nothing else, then the time is 10:30 Central Time on October 19th, 2021. And this meeting of the Board of Directors of the Texas Life and Health Insurance Guarantee Association is hereby adjourned.